morning, everybody, or good afternoon, I should say. Maybe it's morning still in New Orleans. So this is what I'll be talking about today. And I have nothing to disclose, no relationships. The learning objective is to describe lessons learned in a 3-year intervention that engages parents to advocate in favor of immunizations in their community. So today's presentation, I'll cover 4 different areas. The first is I'll provide you a little bit of background on why we developed this community intervention that we call the Immunity Community. Then I'll tell you a little bit about the aims and activities of the evaluation. And I'll share with you a few of the key findings. And then lastly will be some lessons learned from my work. So to give you a little bit of background and context for why we're doing what we're doing in Washington State, these 2 maps show our kindergarten exemption rate in Washington State over the span of 10 years. And so in only 10 years, you can see from the map on the left to the right, our kindergarten exemptions increased quite dramatically in only 10 years. And when we designed this intervention in 2011 and launched it, our rate was about 6.2%, which was over 3 times the national average. So it was really concerning and alarming to us in our state. However, I wanted to say, despite that fact, it still remains that most parents do immunize their kids in Washington State. In 2014, the rate was 71% of parents fully immunize their kids on time, on schedule, by the age of 3. So the work we're doing in Washington through a partnership called Vax Northwest is working with both providers and communities, but I'm just going to tell you about our community work today, and I'll provide you with my contact information if you want to learn more about our provider work as well. So we're working with communities in our work to decrease vaccine hesitancy. Through our research on parents and how they make their decisions specifically related to immunizations, we've found the following things. We've found that parents, above and beyond anything else, want to do what's best for their child, whether that's through immunizing or delaying or refusing. They're thinking they're doing what's best for their child. We know that parents gather and form their opinions through their social networks, so that's through their friends, their family members, their colleagues. We know, as I mentioned before, that most parents do, in fact, immunize their kids on time and on schedule. We also know that the voice of the immunizing parent is often unheard. I think this is getting a little bit better, but we call this the silent majority. And through some focus groups we did when we were developing this program, we found that immunizing parents do understand and recognize the value of a healthy community. And when those parents are given some compelling information like the threshold for herd immunity, those parents can and want to become activated. So that was kind of the basis for why we are doing what we're doing. So we designed an intervention that aims to increase attitudes that support immunizations, to change local immunization policy practices, and to ultimately yield fewer exemptions. So the strategies that we've used, which I'll go into more detail, are to activate parents who do immunize in settings where parents gather and share information. So things like elementary schools, preschools, child cares. We train parents as volunteer advocates to reinforce the value of a healthy community through immunizing by giving parents training tools and resources and technical assistance to try and achieve those outcomes up there. So our community intervention was named the Immunity Community, which is a play on the term community immunity or herd immunity. And it was a 3-year pilot that was launched in 2011 and just concluded in June of this year. The first 2 years of the pilot were piloted in a suburban area outside of the Seattle area that had a median exemption rate. So we wanted to test this in an area that wasn't going to be as of a hostile environment with such a high exemption rate. And we tested it there at 2 elementary schools with 13 parents trained as advocates. The third and final year of the pilot, the first 2 years were piloted at this suburban area outside of Seattle. In the third year, we continued in that same area, and we also wanted to test and spread the intervention to an area that had a higher hesitancy and higher exemption rate. So we moved into a more rural community in northwestern Washington near the Canadian border that had a higher exemption rate. And it was piloted there to 6 sites with 9 parents. And parent advocates, as I'll go into in a little bit, are provided training, technical assistance, and we ask them to implement immunity community-related activities in their sites and in their community for about 4 to 6 hours a month, or roughly an hour a week. And the last thing I just wanted to point out is that we used a community advisory board in the development and planning of the campaign, and that to test our messages and our strategies, and that consisted of pro-immunization parents, pediatricians, as well as some public health staff. Some of the tools and tactics that parents are provided, they're provided an initial training that's a 4-hour in-person training, and the meat of that is really how to have a conversation with other parents about immunizations, and then how to plan a positive immunization campaign. Parents are also, we have quarterly meetings, and there's a lot of meetings with parents to check in with them and see how they're doing. We do a lot of communicating with parents through other means, such as a monthly newsletter. We also developed a private Facebook group for parents as a safe space to talk and share connections and resources. And we have a private password-protected section on our vaxnorthwest.org website just for parents. And then parents are provided with a wide variety of materials, which I'll show you next. So these are some of the materials and the giveaways that we produced for parents. And a few things just to point out about all of our materials. The look and feel is we wanted it to be both kid-friendly, so kids would be drawn to it, and then if the kids are drawn to it, then their parents usually follow. So it's both kid and parent-friendly. And we have illustrated characters, and then we also developed in our second year of the campaign in the upper left-hand corner a series of materials and videos that have real parents in Washington State who immunize. We also wanted to focus on the positive messaging with an emphasis on the community benefits of immunizations. We really didn't want to pit parents against each other, and we didn't want to have any fear-based messaging because parents are already putting themselves out there. We wanted them to be supported. We have giveaways in the bottom row, and then just the other thing to point out in the upper right-hand corner, we call that our speedometer poster. That's for parents to post in their sites what their immunization rates are as a tool, another valuable education tool. And we ask parents when they go through the training, do you know what your rate is at your school? And if you don't, go, you know, figure that out and ask. It's public information. It's pretty powerful once parents go back and do that. There's quite a few surprises. Okay, next I'm going to share a little bit about the evaluation. And my colleague who's the PI on this study, Clarissa Hsu, is in the audience, and she'll be providing much more detail about the evaluation at a 2:30 session, and I invite you guys all to attend that. So our evaluation was done by the Group Health Research Institute and their Center for Community Health and Evaluation. So there were 4 aims of the evaluation. The first was to document the details of the intervention to help facilitate its spread. The second was to provide formative feedback for continuous improvement in each phase. And those were things like creating the Facebook group and creating new materials and things like that was really helpful. Also gathering evidence that our intervention contributed to the outcomes. And then lastly, to identify best practices and factors to contribute to successful implementation in new communities. I'm not going to read all of these, but these are the short-term, intermediate, and long-term outcomes. And the ones that are bolded, which are a little bit harder to read right now, but those are the short-term and the intermediate, are ones that the evaluation team felt the intervention achieved and has made progress towards. And I'll highlight a few of these in more detail in the next few slides. So the evaluation team used both qualitative and quantitative methods to evaluate our work, and these are them, the observation and document review. We had all our parent advocates record every other week in an activity log on the private immunity community website pages. There was also a pre- and post-parent survey of all parents at each of the pilot sites which this was implemented in. There were, I think, over 80 interviews, key informant interviews, with parent advocates, pilot site staff, our Within Reach team, as well as 5 different focus groups with parents from the target communities. So here are some really high-level findings to share with you. So some of the key takeaways. The first is that parents can be trained as volunteers to be effective immunization advocates in their communities. So this is a wonderful takeaway that we're really excited about. The second is that the immunity community was able to raise awareness of vaccine-related issues in our focus area communities. The third is that parents that were surveyed in those communities are now more supportive of vaccination. So that's, again, a really positive finding. The program was also instrumental in a preschool policy change with statewide impact, and that's affecting up to 10,000 families in Washington State through some changes to a risk manual that a preschool system adopted and implemented into practice. And then the last one, which is where we're moving forward right now, is that there's more piloting that needs to be done to create a more sustainable and lower cost model. It's not cheap to do this work in the community necessarily. Just wanted to share with you a few of the ways in which the messages about the immunity community got out into the community. So we were really excited that we were featured in a Time Magazine online article where one of our parent advocates was interviewed about the immunity community, and it was timed really nicely with a journal article about how social networks really impact immunization choices. And the second one is the Bellingham Herald, and that's one of our sites in Washington State, where one of our parent advocates actually contacted a reporter there, pitched the story, was interviewed, and then this is the Sunday front page newspaper. And it was a very positive story, and she was interviewed in it as well, so we were really excited. So a short-term goal of the program was to make parents more aware and knowledgeable of immunization issues. So overall, the parent advocates and the site reps believe that the program did a good job at raising the awareness and the level of education and knowledge about vaccine-related issues among the parents at their sites. And so the one that I wanted to highlight here is the, I guess it's kind of the golden orangey-colored one. So that one is the number of parents who reported their knowledge of their child's school and child care exemption rates. Was one that approached statistical significance, so we were excited about that. And the other ones were all trending in the right direction. The parent survey also revealed shifts in several attitudes that are now more supportive of vaccinations. And so there were statistically significant changes in the following. And so again, those are all the yellow golden ones. So there was an increase in parents that were concerned about other parents not vaccinating their children. There was a decrease in those that believe that vaccines are given to children when they were too young. There was a decrease in those who felt it's the responsibility of individuals to choose whether or not to vaccinate. And there was an increase in the number of parents that reported confidence in vaccinating as a good decision. So these were all very exciting findings, and those were all statistically significant. And the last thing that I'll share with you before I go into some lessons learned is that these are some attitude changes that also approach statistical significance. One was there was an increase in the number of parents that reported following the recommended vaccine schedule was a good idea. And there was also a decrease in those that identified themselves as vaccine hesitant from the pre to the post survey. So I'm just going to share with you a few slides about lessons learned in 4 different areas. First is recruitment, and then some training and meeting lessons learned, program implementation, and then using parents as advocates. So the first thing I just wanted to share was around recruitment. As you can see, the steps on the left from just identifying the area in which we wanted to target to down to the parent recruitment, it's a multi-stepped process. It takes a lot of time and a lot of resources and a lot of energy just to get a parent, one or two parents recruited per site. So the lesson learned here is to start early and really make sure that when you're working in a new community, it's important to build relationships and trust really from the get-go. And once we had built trust with the local health department and some other local community groups and early learning coalitions, it made it a lot easier. Related to trainings and meetings, we worked with primarily parents who had young children, mostly mothers. So it was really important to make sure that we were aware of the school and child care calendars to hold meetings during the day when children were in school. We had a rule that babes in arms were okay, that moms were invited to bring their children with them to trainings and meetings. And from the training lessons learned here was the takeaway, really, as an adult learner, it's important, you probably all know this, to have varied trainings that are interactive, and also time for parents to be able to talk to one another and share information. And, of course, provide food. That's just some lessons learned related to implementation. When we had more successful sites was when there was support from multiple levels, so not just at the top level, but from everything from the director level on down to the support staff, and that all staff was knowledgeable about who the parent was that was being the advocate and what they were doing as well. Permission is important, especially at the school level. When there wasn't permission, it took a lot longer, and it's a lot more bureaucratic there, so to make sure there's time. The transparency of the program, we don't have any funding from pharmaceutical companies, and we told parents that, and it was a trust issue for them, and so they own that and embrace that, and were able to share that information with them. And then responsive technical assistance from program staff, so that would be me as the program coordinator, was really critical to success, having somebody there. And then the last one, the sites with a culture of active, engaged parents. So that was great when there were already designated groups, such as like a PTA or a parent group at a child care. And then cross-communication from the site to me to the parent advocate made it a lot smoother and easier to implement. So some lessons learned, parents as advocates. We found that having two parents at the sites was really a lot more successful, that parents each have their own strengths and they can really work with each other, especially if there's ever any pushback from other parents. That a two-year cycle is really the max that a parent wants to become and can be fully engaged. We did provide a stipend for the first 2 years that parents were on board, and through surveys with parents, we found that although the stipend was helpful for recruitment, that it was less important to keep parents involved. Time, also obviously, parents are busy and they have children that take up their lives, and you know, we respect that and want to provide them with as much resources and hope they can, if they are engaged, stick with us for a little bit. Parents that were seen as trusted members of the community were helped to lend credibility and interest by others at the site. That was a really important one. And although we had only one dad who participated, we kept hearing, oh, it would be great to have more dads involved, so how can we get more fathers involved as advocates in the future? Okay, great, perfect. So just next, wanted to wrap up and show you a few of our parent advocates in action. Something just to highlight on this is that when parents would have immunization-only events at their sites, we'd maybe have one or two parents that would show up to, you know, hear a pediatrician talk about vaccines or, you know, something like that. But when we held an event that was a health and wellness fair, or parents participated in community-wide events, there was much more interest and willingness to have that cross-dialogue with other parents in the community to talk about immunizations. Here's just another image of some events that parents did. And lastly, just wanted to share so where we're going now and where we're headed. So we are currently testing a lower resource model in two new communities in Washington State, in Eastern and Washington, and then in Southwest Washington. And then we're working on some marketing and dissemination plans for future program expansion. How can we open this up to others that are interested? And we, I believe, just submitted a paper, right? Hopefully this paper's been submitted to a peer-reviewed journal, so this will be published in the next hopefully year. Thank you, and here's my contact information.